Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 8. Let's read our scripture tonight. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive for inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. So tonight we're just looking at verses 8 through 10. Next week we won't have a midweek service due to our fall revival. We'll be having our midweek service Monday and Tuesday nights. No Wednesday night service next week. And so we'll come back to our study the week after the fall revival, and then we'll be going over Abraham again. There's too much to cover on Abraham to do it in one 40-minute lesson here. So as we look at Abraham tonight and our journey of faith that we're looking at, and God has set aside men and women through this Hebrews chapter 11 Hall of Fame of Faith to show us the step-by-step journey of faith that we are to take. And these individuals are an example to us on how to take that step-by-step journey. And so as we come tonight, let's pray and ask the Holy Spirit to help us tonight and the Lord to help us. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your love and mercy. And Lord, I pray that you would tonight teach us. Speak through me, Lord. Use me. Help me not to be my words, but your words. Help us to use the Word of God tonight, for that's the only truth that we have. And Lord, I pray that you would teach us these truths tonight of how to do and to walk a step-by-step journey of faith. And thank you for the examples that you've given us in Hebrews 11, but we know you are the great example. And Lord, help us, Lord, to be holy and righteous and not self-centered and complacent in this dark world that we live in. Thank you, Lord, for all that you do. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen. As we continue our study of Hebrews 11, which deals with the subject of faith, I know we're in week 5 of this study already. It's hard to believe we're already in week 5. But as we come now to week 5 and we've looked at some great heroes of the faith, let me stop for just a minute and clarify that the subject of this chapter is not saving faith. The subject of this chapter is not saving faith. Or how do I become a Christian? That's not what this chapter is about. The subject of Hebrews chapter 11 is the step-by-step process of living by faith. That's what this chapter is about. But unfortunately, as we've seen already in a couple times this study, there is a false doctrine that is associated with this chapter. And it's so subtle. Subtle. That's a hard word for me. It's so sneaky. There you go. And it's really straight from Satan, because it is so sneaky that you listen to it and you hear it and you're like, well, there's nothing wrong with that. But it does not line up with the Word of God. It's thinking of man, not thinking of God. And so first, let me, before we jump into Abraham, because it's so important to see his step-by-step journey, let me first refute a false idea and doctrine and teaching on faith that comes straight from this chapter. Some teachers of the Word of God say that they teach that saving faith is not a mere single act of Jesus. And it's not a mere single act of receiving Jesus. So they say saving faith is not just accepting Jesus Christ as their Savior. They add to it. They say saving faith receives Jesus in order to keep trusting Him by faith. Saving faith is a life of faith, is what they say. So I get saved to live by faith. That sounds good, but listen closely. The faith of chapter 11 is teaching us. That faith is not teaching us saving faith. Abraham's already saved. Noah is already saved. Abel, Enoch are already saved. They're serving God. They're living by faith. And they go on and say, saving faith is a life of faith. And they say the evidence of their teaching, the evidence of saving faith is a prolonged life of faith. The evidence of this is the authentic saving faith is your pressing on for Christ. That sounds great. And so much false teaching does sound really good. But if you start digging into that statement, that my saving faith, to accept Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, gives me the ability to saving faith to progress in trusting Him, then what is my faith based on? My ability to press on for Christ? Or Christ alone? If my saving faith and my trust in Jesus Christ as my personal Savior is the same as the faith that helps me to continue to walk for Him, what happens when I fall? Am I still saved? Well, we know the Bible teaches that once you're saved, you're always saved. So what happens? Does that mean we were never saved when we fall into sin? You see, the difficulty on this statement is they're saying that it's based on you keeping walking on for God. If Abraham had gone on to Haran, and his father died, he's now to go stage two and go on further for Jesus, go into the promised land, and he's like, you know, it wasn't that bad in Ur of Chaldees. I think I'll go back. That's not what this verse is. This verse is not saying that Abraham was saved and now he's continually being saved because he's continually to walking for God. I don't know about y'all, but I sin. It's an ugly fact, but we do all sin. So what is this thought? What is this doctrine? What is this teaching? It's teaching that your faith is based on you continuing to walk with God and your perseverance. That's not what the Bible teaches. If you compare these false statements with the Word of God, they don't measure up. The Christian is saved by the act of faith in Jesus Christ and His finished work. Period. Once saved, now you are to live a life of faith. Why? Why should we live a life of faith? Gratitude. We owe a debt. We have been made a new creature. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. That's past tense. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. So you get saved, then you start walking by faith. It's not one continuous process of one saving faith. I know it's confusing. I don't mean to be confusing, but I am a Bible teacher. I dug into that this week and I said, I know it's going to be confusing, but I need to say it because it's true. And what they're saying is false. So we receive Christ by faith. Now we live by faith. Not for salvation, but for gratitude, for a debt that we owe. Our walk in Christ and Abraham's walking with the Lord and walking and Enoch's walking with the Lord and Noah's walking with the Lord has nothing to do with their salvation. They were saved over here. And they have made a conscious decision, I am going to serve the Lord. I'm going to work for the Lord. I'm going to worship the Lord. I'm going to live for the Lord. I'm going to walk for the Lord. To do that, keep pressing on. But it has nothing to do with your salvation. I'll leave that there. You can ponder that. In Hebrews chapter 10, notice verse 38. Just back one chapter. The very last verse of, or second to last verse of chapter 10. Hebrews 10:38, now the just shall live by faith. It doesn't say something different. If you're just, you're right with God. If you're just, you're saved. Now the just shall live by faith. And then it says over in Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So without faith, impossible. It's just one of those things I can't let go. Let's move on to Abraham now. If you've got questions, we'll try to dig into it further one-on-one. But look at this factor of faith that pleases God in this verse, verse 8. There's a factor here of faith that pleases God. And that's what we want to do. We want to please God. It says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing whither he went. Faith pleases God. A journey of faith, a step of faith pleases God. And God likes to reward your faith. And in the 40 verses of Hebrews chapter 11, the penman of this great chapter provides us example after example of men and women who lived by faith. Not saving, but a step-by-step journey of faith. Last week we saw Noah, and we saw Noah's faith brought three results. Deliverance of his family, condemnation of the world, and he became an heir of righteousness. Steps of faith led to reward by God. God rewarded Noah for his faith and for his journey of faith, and Noah inherited the world after the flood. That God does reward those who diligently seek Him is demonstrated not only in the lives of Noah, but also in the lives of Abraham. Their lives stress this reward to which faith leads. You know, Noah served God 120 years before the flood, and he did that by faith. He nevertheless saw the fulfillment of God's warning and the results of his faith. But not so with Abraham. Abraham was given two promises. The inheritance of the promised land and the formation of a mighty people as his descendants. But he never saw these promises fulfilled in his life. He lived for 175 years and yet he did not see them fulfilled, but he lived by faith, knowing it was promised by God. Go back to verse 8 again, and let's see, what is that factor of faith that pleases? By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, what's the next word? Obey. I've received Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I'm going to heaven. But now, God has given me breath and life. I need to walk for Him. I need to serve Him. I need to live for Him. I need to take a step of faith and another step of faith and another step of faith and have this journey of faith for God. But it all starts after our salvation with one step. One step. That takes obedience. The factor of faith that pleases God is obedience. What are we supposed to obey God about? Oh my goodness. We don't have the time. It's all throughout the Word of God how we're supposed to obey Him. What's the focus then of these first steps? The focus of these first steps. Living by faith is a journey There are wonders behold and challenges to overcome. You agree? In this life of faith, there are going to be obstacles. There's going to be challenges. Oh, there's going to be great days and good days and mountaintop experiences, but there are going to be a lot of valleys. It's amazing how God puts things together time-wise. This last night, we were watching a documentary last night on the Northwest Passage. And this couple were going to travel by skis and by, when there's wind, had the sail, and the sail would move them along, and when it was not doing anything, they'd walk. So they were going to walk in the Northwest Passage. Well, the Northwest Passage is on the northern end of Canada, up north in the Arctic. You've got Alaska all the way across northern Canada, all the way over to Greenland. Okay? They're going to walk it 3,000 kilometers, or about 1,800 miles. Sure, got the time, got the energy, but you're going to have to be a problem solver on this journey. You're going to have to be flexible. You're going to have to be curious. You're going to have to be able to fix things. You're going to have bravery to overcome the challenges that are coming. And as they were camping out about halfway through their journey, they realized they're not alone. There were polar bears. And they weren't drinking Coca-Cola and sitting outside the igloos. Polar bears are vicious, deadly. And this was a brother-sister duo, and they were in separate tents one night, and the sister's tent starts rattling, and then the gaping hole comes through the side of the tent, and the polar bear's trying to get in the tent to eat her. They were wise. They were problem solvers. They had a gun, and they didn't want to injure the polar bear, and that would be even worse, so they shot over his head to scare him with this shotgun. Well, he backed off about 25 feet and watched them. What are we going to do? We're halfway through this journey. There's no one around to come help us. If we turn back, I'm sure there's going to be polar bears back there. If we go forward, well, 25 yards ahead of us, there's one sitting. But his buddies are probably not far away. What are we going to do? We can't call in a search and rescue team. We're in the middle of nowhere. They pressed on for another 900 miles with polar bear sightings along the way. Our journey of faith is just as dangerous. Our journey of faith is going to be challenging. We can't allow the proverbial polar bear to stop us from serving God. We got to press on. We got to move forward. We've got to be wise. We've got to be problem solvers. We've got to be flexible. We've got to move forward for Jesus Christ. They reached Banff Island, which was sort of the end of their trek. And they're welcomed by the entire village. The village has known what they have done, and it is no small task what they have done. And they're all there to celebrate with them their completion of trekking or walking the Northwest Passage and facing the challenges and the difficulties. And they said that they were changed people for completing this journey. What's going to happen when we are walking by faith, serving the Lord, and one day we're not walking on this earth anymore? We're walking in the glory. We're walking the streets of gold. We see Jesus Christ face to face. We fall down on our faces and worship Him. For He is worthy. It'll be worth it all, folks. Every struggle, every heartache, every challenging moment will be worth it. We just have to press on. Abraham was called by God to leave all he knew. All he knew. To embark on this journey to where he did not know where he was going. His journey is going to involve a geographical change. It's going to involve a religious change. It's going to involve a spiritual change. It's full of obstacles. It was not an easy journey. As we see on this next screen, it's a stage one of his journey is verse 8. And you see down at the far, my right, end is Ur of the Chaldees. Right above, or right there near the Persian Gulf. Great piece of land and sea. Spent some time there, brother. You probably spent some time around that area. A great piece of property. Everybody's fighting over and it's not nothing but sand. The red line, sort of hard to see, it goes up the river. The supposed journey of Abraham. And they go all the way to Haran, in the northern part of the map. That's stage one. That's verse 8. He still doesn't know where he's going. After this long journey, but this first stage, he has left home. He has left family. He has left a religion that might surprise you. And then the second stage we'll look at in a moment. But let's look at this first stage. Let's go back to verse 8. So, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obey. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. This is the sovereign call of God to Abraham. With Abraham accepting God's call and obeying, this is salvation. Now he begins a journey of Abraham lived in an unregenerate part of the world. He was from the city of Ur of the Chaldees. Just a little summation of what Ur of the Chaldees was known for, besides the ziggurats and besides the beautiful gardens there along the coastline, it was known as the center of worship of the moon goddess. That's what Ur of the Chaldees was known for. It was the center of worship for the moon goddess. One of the premier goddesses of the Chaldean world. Notice with me, hold your place in Hebrews. Let me show you in Joshua. An amazing verse that sometimes we don't connect the dots. I'm sort of slow sometimes. I have to read it several times and then the light bulb clicks on. Let me help you click the light bulb on here tonight. Joshua 24. Joshua sort of given his last charge before he passes away to the people of Israel. And verse 2 of Joshua 24. And Joshua said unto all the people, thus saith the God, Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old times. So we know they're not talking about their father, they're talking about their ancestor fathers, okay? Your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor. What's that last phrase of verse 2? And they served other gods. They were false god worshipers. And God called him out of that. Abraham's father served other gods. the father of Nahor, the father of Abraham, served other gods. As the father does, so do the sons. Abraham lived in an idolatrous, vile culture of paganism. I have to ask questions when I read the scriptures. Why did God choose Abraham? Why did God choose Abraham to be the father of the nation of Israel? Well, I've got an answer for you. An answer for me. It's in Romans chapter 9. I'm going to laugh. Not much of an answer. Romans 9 and verse 15. The reason, I believe, God chose Abraham to come out of the Ur of the Chaldees and be a father of the Hebrew nation. Verse 15 of Romans 9, "For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion." God's ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are above our thoughts. But you know what God can do that we can't do? He can see Abraham's heart. And he sees his heart that he will be willing to leave his home. He will be willing to leave his culture. He will be willing to leave his extended family. He will be willing to leave the false gods that they have worshipped. And to go somewhere that God will eventually show him. That's why God chose Abraham. By faith, Abraham obeyed. God said, "Go, and I will bless you." Abraham said, "I believe it, I'm going." And he stepped out by faith and went. Some interesting things here in this verse, verse 8, back in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. It says, "By faith Abraham, when he was called." When he was called is, I'm not going to bore you with Greek here, but let me just give you some tidbit on what this means. When he was called is a present participle in Greek. It speaks of action going on at the same time as the leading verb of the same sentence. Oh, what's the leading verb? The leading verb is obeyed. Oh. An action going on at the same time of the leading verb, obeyed. We could read this verse this way. Abraham, while he was being called, obeyed. While Abraham was being called, he said, "Yes, Lord, I'm going right now. I believe you." That's what, when he was called, with the word obeyed. It was an immediate obedience. It's, I need to pray about this, God. I need to seek a council of counselors on this, God. I need to lay out a fleece, God. I need to go ask my in-laws. I need to go ask my third cousin. No, he immediately obeys God. God told Abraham he would bless him, and Abraham believed and stepped out by faith, began his journey. At the end of verse 8, it says, "And he went out not knowing whither he went." How would you like husbands to get in the car with your wives and say, "We're going on the trip. All right, how long are we going to be gone?" "I have no idea. Probably not coming back." "Where are we going?" "I have no idea." "Do we have enough gas? Do we have enough money? Do you have GPS coordinates?" "I don't know where we're going." "Okay, let's just get in the car." Have you ever gotten in a car and just drove? Can't do that nowadays with gas prices the way they are. But years ago, that was sort of our thing. We loved to just get on a road that we'd never been on, not a highway, but a back road, and we'll see where it went. It's fun. That's how we found Knoxville. Like, whoa, there's Knoxville. How about that? We were in South Carolina to start with, and we went back roads. If gas prices come down, there's your date. In verse 8 it ends, not knowing whither he went. The word here, knowing, is not the usual Bible word for knowing. There's two other common words that the Bible uses in the New Testament for knowing, and this is neither one. It's a different one entirely. And it means to put one's attention on, to fix one's thoughts on, to know. Abraham's faith was so great that he was not even concerned where he was going. He was going with God. We could translate that end of that verse was, he went out not even putting his thoughts on where he was going. Didn't enter his mind. We're just going, Sarah. We're going. Lot, come on, we're going. Where are we going? I don't know, but we're going. We're going with God. How could he do this? Trust in God. Obey. I don't need the details when God's in charge. Abraham set out in faith, his destination unrevealed. But he also set out in hope, firmly grasping the promise of God. Abraham couldn't even tell his relatives where he was going because he didn't know. I'm sure he got some crazy looks. But he left his birthright. He left his birthplace. He left his home. He left his estate. He severed family ties. He left loved ones. Why? Because God told him. A walk of faith, step by step, brings separation from old ways of life. Abraham, his faith separated him from what was pagan. You know, spiritual growth demands separation. So I want to grow closer to God. What's going to mean separate more? Practical separation from the world is the beginning of the walk of faith. Just the beginning. You know, the Word of God has much to say about separation, especially separation from the world, from unbelievers, from evil, from sinfulness. Abraham believed there was a blessing for separation, and he obeyed so he could please God. Please. As a person grows in faith, he begins to lose the desire of the old worldly things. That's the beginning of separation. Spiritual maturity is a process of growing to the place where you don't only do those old things, you don't even want to do them anymore. So as we apply our faith, we grow. God has called us to be holy, separated from sin. Let's look at stage 2, verse 9. Flourishing through the journey. You want to flourish on your journey of faith? By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. That word sojourned literally means to dwell beside or among. To dwell beside or among is what sojourn means. It speaks of a foreigner dwelling in a state without rights of citizenship. He was a transient in the land of promise. The word strange in this verse is a strange country. It means another's, not one's own, foreign, hostile. So he was dwelling in tabernacles. Well, that sounds pleasant. It basically means he was dwelling in temporary dwellings. Abraham was a nomad. You know, I teach archaeology in the college, and one of the things that we look at is some of the ancient records that have been discovered and line it up with the Bible. You know why we never find any archaeological evidence of Abraham or Isaac or Jacob? They were nomads. They were Bedouins. They traveled everywhere they went. They didn't put down a lot of roots because the land was theirs, but not theirs. It was promised to them, but yet it had not yet been given to them. When Abraham got to the land of promise in verse 9, he never saw the fulfillment of the promise of God. Even when his wife dies, he has to go and he has to barter and bargain and pay the Hittites to purchase a burial plot for his wife. Why did they live as in a foreign country when they were in fact in the land of promise? Why didn't they move in, settle down, take possession? Well, the answer is in verse 13 of Hebrews 11. In Hebrews 11, 13, these all died in faith, talking about Abraham and Sarah mainly. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Abraham saw himself as a pilgrim on this earth, a stranger, a foreigner to this world. His hope was not in the land of promise. His hope was on the eternal city of God. Notice verse 16. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise. By faith in God's promise of a heavenly city, he lived as a pilgrim here on earth, a stranger. He knew the earth wasn't his home, so he never tried to make it his home. Oh my. Do we see ourselves as pilgrims on this earth? Do we live as if we're foreigners here? I'm not saying you don't have to have a nice home or drive a nice car or work a job and pay your taxes. But what's your emphasis? What's your priority? You know, back in, we don't say a lot about it, but the Lord's really pressing me to say here. But back in January, we tore our house down. What? We tore our house down. It had some needs. It had some repairs, and we were just tearing one portion of our house down. Well, by March, the entire house was gone. Gone. No house. Today, prayerfully, they put plywood on a new roof. We're praying by the end of the year, we'll be back in our home. But you know what we promised God as soon as we left our home? We lived there 22 years. Our kids grew up in that home. But when we left that home and know that we would not be back for months, not expecting over a year now, or going on a year, said, Lord, this is your house. Either what we have now or what you provide us, it's still yours. Every room, every piece of property, it's all yours. And so when you allow us to go back into our home to live, our home will be open to strangers and friends, family, always. Because we're going to make much of Jesus in our home. How do you live? I don't say that to have your pity. God's been good. He has worked some miracles in the last 10 months. We have seen His hand move mightily. He made himself real to us in this valley that we've been walking. We know he's real. We know he's alive. And we know he has something far better than we can even imagine. But you know, if that home was still standing and had the problems it still had, we wouldn't have made the same promises to God. He had to open our eyes in the valley to see. We're strangers, pilgrims on this earth. And we're blessed just to have another breath, day to live. So as we walk this journey of faith, step by step, there's going to be challenges. I pray you don't have to tear your house down. Not a great time in the economy to build a house. But there's going to be challenges. There's going to be mountains and walls and obstacles and ferocious animals and deep despair and bad economies and loss of job and loss of loved ones and difficulties in your home. Keep stepping forward for God. Don't give up. Persevere. Please, persevere. Obey your Heavenly Father. For it says in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20, for our conversation, and we can translate that word citizenship, our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Abraham is a good picture of the Christian. We are pilgrims on this earth. We're aliens, we're strangers, we're foreigners. Our roots don't so have to go so far down that it looks like we're laying up our treasures here. Jesus spoke a lot about that in Matthew chapter 6. Lay not up for yourselves treasure upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now, I was in the Navy. Praise the Lord for my time in the Navy. I didn't have much on the Navy ship that I served on. It was just a small ship. We were given a bunk, and we were given a little locker that was no bigger than 3x3, 2x2 or something like that, whatever. But it was okay. We didn't have a lot of possessions. And we also knew temporary. Our time on that ship was temporary. Since you and I are pilgrims here, wouldn't it be far better to spend our time and money advancing God's kingdom instead of our own? We need to order our priorities and work for the heavenly rewards, not for this earth's decaying. As men and women of faith, we share an unforgettable adventure with Abraham. He's, you know, the quintessential person of faith in the Scriptures. The New Testament refers to the faith of Abraham more than any other Old Testament saint. In walking the journey of faith, Abraham illustrates how this is the most important exercise a Christian can do. Do you long for a clear calling from the Lord? Lord, tell me exactly what you want me to do. Make it as plain and clear as possible. If you could, just write it down for me and let me see it in my language that I understand all the words that are on it. Well, let's remember Abraham. He immediately responded to God's call with obedience, not even knowing where he was going. of a message I preach from this text. Obedience precedes direction. You're not going to get direction from God until you're obedient to God. Do you despair of the rat race? Don't we all? Where life feels like an endless treadmill leading nowhere? Remember Irv. Remember Abraham of Ur of the Chaldees? And claim the promises of the Lord for the journey, who invites us to experience the most incredible adventure of our lives, walking with Him by faith. Give me that last slide, brother. Just take one step at a time. Just take one step at a time. That's really all we can do. I don't know about you, but I can't take two steps at one time. I'll fall down. But I can take one step, and then I can take another. Let's take one step at a time. We've got some great opportunities to serve the Lord this weekend. Saturday, 1 o'clock, Sunday, 10 o'clock. A lot's going on Sunday at 10 o'clock before the service even begins. Through the service, we can be ready at invitation time. And as I stand up here at the end of invitation, and I'm looking through the crowd that's here, I'm praying God to speak to hearts. But as I'm praying for God to speak to hearts, and pastors up here making the plea to come and be saved, or come to be join the church, or come to pray, and you know what else I'm looking for? I'm looking for people to pray with the people that come. I'm looking for people to come and help those that come. And what I see when I stand here at the invitation time is everybody's like this. Nobody's looking at me. If you're comfortable praying with people, look at me during the invitation. And I will pair you with the right people. Because we have individuals that come that need somebody just to pray. You don't need to know what they're praying about. Just bend down and pray for them. That's all we need to do. Now, if somebody comes for salvation, that's different. But look at me during the invitation so I can help you serve the Lord as well. Let's take one step at a time on this journey of faith and serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords until we see Him face to face.